Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Charity Digital podcast. Today we're talking about cybersecurity and why the charity sector appears to be hesitant to do the same. Here at Charity Digital, we love talking about cybersecurity, hence this podcast, but we know it's not exactly a party starter. What if we started with a few interesting facts though? For example, of the 39% of organisations who suffered a cyber attack in 2021, nearly 3 in 10 were attacked at least once a week, according to the UK government. The average cost to organisations losing data and assets after a cyber breach is £8,460, a large sum which still pales in comparison to what some charities have been fined after losing their data in an attack, which has gone up to £25,000 in the past. Scary stuff, but however we start the conversation, we know that sharing our personal experiences of cybersecurity is hugely important if we want to protect ourselves from cyber threats in the future. Time is of the essence. In 2021, we discovered that a noticeable increase in cyber threats in the sector was the biggest reason for charities changing their attitudes towards cybersecurity. But more than a quarter of charities cited suffering a breach themselves as a reason for change. So why aren't we talking about it? How else can we learn if not from our mistakes? How else can we learn the best ways to react to a cyber breach if we don't share our approaches? How can we reduce the stigma of cyber attacks, and how can we, as a sector, fully understand the dangers of a cyber breach if we don't talk about them? Fortunately, that's what we're here to do today. My name is Laura Stanley, content writer at Charity Digital, and I'll be hosting this week's podcast. I'm joined by my colleague, Chris Hall, head of marketing at Charity Digital, Jerry Crow, director of operations and support at the Mary Stevens Hospice, and Claire Mills, former head of communications and external affairs at the National Association for Voluntary and Community Action. All three have experienced a cyber attack within their organisation in the past. Unfortunately for us all three are happy to talk about them. So how about we start at the beginning? What happened to your organisation? Jerry, do you mind going first?
Yeah, we actually, a couple of years ago, all of us here thought we're a small charity. We're trying to do good for everyone in the local community. No one's going to hack us because we're good people. We were really wrong. A hacker got onto our system because a member of staff clicked on a phishing email. She gave her password out, and we had a hacker who sat on our system for at least 24 hours. While they were on our system, they had potentially had access to all of our donor database, approximately 35,000 people. When we found out the hacker had been on the system, we had our IT company, because we don't have our own IT staff here, an external IT company looked at it, carried out a check for us, and couldn't actually tell us 100% what the hacker had done. So we had to write to 35,000 people to tell them your data may have been compromised. The actual physical cost to us for writing out the letters, getting the advice and putting things right was just in excess of £15,000. The good that came out from it was we're all really alert to it now. When we speak to other charities and they say to us, yeah, but we're a charity, we're doing good. The hackers don't care. And half the time, the hackers don't even know, I think, I'm not an expert, I don't think the hackers know who it is they're hacking anyway. They're after data, they're after information, they're trying to get as much as they can. So it was a really bad experience, but a lot of good has come from it for us.
That's such good news. I mean, bad news that it happened. Good news that there's good, something good, a silver lining, if you will, or small mercies, maybe. Claire, what about you?
Well, I think like Jerry, I would say it was an awful experience, but we learned a huge amount from it. So NAVCA is a membership body for local infrastructure organisations, so not a huge charity by any means. We were having trouble with our general inbox, trying to access that. And we called our service, our IT providers. Like Jerry, we don't have an independent, we don't have our own IT in-house. We have a service level agreement with an IT company. And they looked at the mailbox and discovered that somebody had accessed it and then changed the password so that we couldn't get back into it. And so we immediately took steps to secure the systems from any further use by the baddies. because that was the top priority, and then moved into sort of dealing with the consequences, but also reducing the risk of it happening again. Now, we were lucky because the mailbox they had accessed had very little information in it, but it did mean we had to contact around 140 organisations and 200 individuals, I think it was, to say again that their data could potentially have been compromised. I think that in terms of the learning from it, it was really good to see how everybody in our team worked together, how people really stepped up and worked together and worked really professionally and in a supportive way to make sure we contacted those people and organisations affected really quickly. We all previously had a plan for what we would do if a cyber attack happened, and if we had a data breach in any form. So bringing those two plans together, a bit of adjustment to just make sure we reacted to the exact circumstances. Really felt it was important to keep good records of the actions and decisions that we took, to keep everyone on our team informed, our staff and our trustees, who were hugely supportive. We learned a lot from it. We improved our cybersecurity after that. And one further thing we were able to do as a membership organisation was talk to our members about what we'd been through, what we'd learned, what we'd experienced, to make them aware that, you know, like Jerry said, there can be a view that if you're a charity, you're on the side of the angels. So who would possibly attack you? Again, I don't think that these cyber criminals, they don't care who they're attacking. They're just after data and money. They're professionals. They use sophisticated psychology and tools to be successful in what they do. And we shouldn't feel embarrassed about falling victim to highly professional organized operations.
Chris, what happened at Charity Digital?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a 3-for-3 here. Similar answer to both Jerry and Claire. It was about a year ago to the day, actually. I remember it very well because it was sort of welcome back for the new year. Happened right at the beginning of January. In a very similar scenario as both Jerry and Claire mentioned, we had an email account that was breached by someone actually pretending to be one of our tech clients, so not necessarily from our charity world, but from our interaction with the tech world. The assumption was that it came through a phishing attack, but a very sophisticated phishing attack as well, one that was able to mirror an email that looked exactly like an invoice that was being submitted to us. So we happened on clicking on that and off it went. What we didn't realize, however, is that particular cyber criminal had been living within that inbox for about 10 days, and we didn't discover that till afterwards. And within that time, they were able to access a lot of files that were living in that email account, as well as some containing sort of limited personal data. So what they'd actually done is found and modified in an existing invoice, and was starting to replicate that with numerous clients that we had. So we potentially, you know, at risk of being tens of thousands, I think it was around £30,000 out of pocket if those invoices were starting to get paid by clients, which was incredibly scary. Being a charity that we are, we don't rely on public donations. We rely on funding from the tech sector to support what we do. So quite scary in the long term. Equally embarrassing for us as an organization who constantly touts what people should be doing, is it with regards to cybersecurity, and that wasn't lost on us, but that was what directed our approach to it. And we realized that we can't hide behind this. We've got to get out of it. And this is a really actually strong opportunity for us for a charity that is a cyber conscious organization. We've got all the protocols in place. We had the plans, we have the training, we do all these things regularly, yet still, as sophisticated as these criminals are, they were still able to breach us. We saw that as an opportunity to get out in front of it. We had an email, a similar sort of number, I think it was about 140 people whose information had been shared, as well as sort of inform all our tech clients what had happened as well, which obviously comes with a large amount of risk. But the best thing we did was a webinar. And we had sort of 300-400 people from the sector join us to fully explain exactly what we went through. We got out ahead of it. We shared our story. And saw it as an opportunity to help other charities who might end up going through the same thing as us.
That's so interesting, especially, I mean, we've done quite a lot of work with the National Cybersecurity Centre, and they were telling me about the phishing and how sophisticated the attacks are. And I went through their guidance on their website, and it, you know to look out for bad grammar or dodgy logos, but they're so much more sophisticated than that. And I feel like everyone's got their own experience of it, which is why it's so important to talk about them. So I guess that's the big question. Why did you feel such a responsibility to talk to them, talk about cyber attacks? Claire, if we could go to you.
I think we saw it as something that we would never want anyone to go through. We certainly didn't enjoy the experience, but by sharing what had happened to us, we hoped people would feel more comfortable in sharing their own experiences as well, and demonstrating that it's not necessarily your fault if clever criminals attack you and you end up somehow experiencing a cyber attack or a data breach. We wanted to show people that this can happen to anyone, to really demonstrate that, look at the number of attacks that are going on. And actually, after our cyber attack, we became a lot more aware of what could be cyber attacks and the number of times we were actually being targeted. And instead of people deleting those dodgy looking emails and just putting it down to a 3-second job to delete something that looked suspicious, actually started reporting them. And I remember our attack happened sort of the beginning, early December 2020. And then I can remember when Charity Digital was attacked, because we received one of those invoices from Charity Digital. Because we'd been through the experience ourselves, we were hyper alert, I think, to receiving dodgy looking or even plausible looking, but perhaps unexpected emails with invoices in them. And, you know, we were able to contact Charity Digital and go, hey, we had this from you. Is this right? And it really reinforced with us that it's good practice to double check. We had done some work with National Cybersecurity Centre in delivering digital, you know, delivering training on digital security. And so we were a bit embarrassed that we'd fallen victim to an attack. But again, we wanted to get in front of that and use it to demonstrate to people that it's better to show what's happened to you and be aware of what can happen next. I think if we realized we were probably getting an attack, at least an attack every 2 weeks, and we just hadn't really been noticing, because they go to individual people, we'd delete them, nobody would really know. But when you start to think about the volume of attacks that are coming through, it's inevitable that some organizations will fall victim, and anything we can do to help people understand the risk and make sure they've got mitigation, security and plans in place is a good thing for the sector as a whole.
We're in the same boat. I mean, from our point of view, cyber security, like everything digital, it's kind of always evolving. You know, we kind of already discussed attackers always finding these new ways just to be the worst people that could possibly be, just absolutely terrible human beings. And it's kind of our jobs as charities to constantly stay ahead of that, you know, to keep ourselves safe, our people safe, our data safe, all that. And like you said, it's an inevitability. We need to treat cyber crime and cyber attacks as if we will face it in our approach to security, as if we will be attacked, whether it's weekly, monthly, bi-weekly, that sort of thing. We will be attacked in our charities, actually. We actually found in both our survey and what the ICO reports, that, you know, 25% of charities are suffering from cyber attacks in any given year. And when you put that into context of like the total addressable market, the total sector of what, 180,000 charities, that's around 45,000 charities who will become a cyber victim in their lifetime. It's not an insignificant amount of charities. That's huge. And while we're not at those numbers now, yes, we're probably in the thousands, early thousands, maybe late hundreds, in terms of who've been breached. That's still a lot of people who've already gone through the pain, suffered the repercussions of the cyber criminals, and have created these, risk mitigation, risk plans, and all that sort of cyber plans to come up with. I think the best way that we can get ahead of this is through a united front, you know, using the experiences of those thousands of charities to help the 45,000 not suffer something like that. You know, we need to come together to better protect ourselves. And there's loads we can be learning off each other. You know, what led to the attack? What were specific vulnerabilities? How did you report it? How do you address it? How do you get your audience back on side? What worked? What didn't? There's loads really we can share with each other, and a lot more dialogues need to happen. And I think little conversations like this, these are great, but we do need to see a lot more proactivity from the sector, and ultimately need a lot more Claires and a lot more Jerrys out there.
One of the other findings from our report found that 1/3 of micro charities thought their organisation would be unaffected if they had a cyber breach, which I think is quite a lot, too many. So I would, just Jerry, do you think it's important to see from a small charity perspective that cyber attacks happen?
They do happen, and it's one of those things. It's how do I put this right? If someone's attacked physically out on the road, no one ever asks that person, "What did you do wrong?" They report the attack. But when it's a cyber attack, everyone goes, "Shh, let's keep quiet about it."
So
when it happened with us, when we learned about it, our executive board were informed and the trustees were informed. And the first reaction was, let's keep it in-house. Our reputation would be sullied. So I then made an anonymous phone call. I laugh because I do. I made an anonymous phone call to the ICO. Didn't tell them who I was, didn't tell them who I was phoning from, and reported what had happened and asked for advice. And they were just super helpful. And the individual I spoke to ended with, you know, what I could do, what I should do, but it was up to me. They then said, just think, why aren't you reporting it? If you believe there's 35,000 people's worth of data out with a hacker, one of them is going to find out. What would your reputation look like if one of those reported it? So I then took that back to the executive board, gave that argument to them, and we said, right, we would report it formally, which we did. And everybody, the Charity Commission, the police, Action Fraud, the ICO, everyone who previous to that I'd heard were absolutely awful and they were out trying to hunt us down, they were just super helpful. They guided us. They asked, right, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? And our reputation did not suffer. We did have, of those 35,000 people, because I got all of the responses and I answered every single one of them personally, some of them, yes, we lost our reputation. But the vast majority of them were, thank you very much. We wish some of the bigger companies would be more honest about it. And there was one lady I remember really clearly. She wrote and she said, thank you for this. It's very kind of you to tell us. It reminds me of a time when my dad was in your hospice being cared for. And I gather she'd made a promise to her dad to give us some money. She'd forgotten about it until we wrote about our breach and she sent us a £3,000 check. So there's good come out of it. So I would say, always ask yourself, why keep quiet about it? You know, if you're open about it, not only will others learn, but we learn a lot from a lot of other people.
I think if I can come in there, that's absolutely right, Jerry. As a professional communicator, my view is always, why aren't you telling people what's happened? Why do you want to not talk about what's going on here? Because sure, as eggs is eggs, you know that if you try to keep something like this quiet, but you've also got to tell 200 people or 35,000 people that it's not quiet, is it? Because you've told people, so why wouldn't you go on? Again, I found the Information Commissioner's office absolutely superb. They could not have been kinder. And I was a bit embarrassed ringing them up. Oh, we've had a data breach. Same with the Charity Commission, contacting them, thinking, oh, this doesn't, you know, it doesn't make us look great, but at least we're doing the right thing in the reporting. But they were so helpful and non-judgmental and really welcomed that we had contacted them straight away, that we had done the right thing. I think it's really important to do that. And somebody said to me the other day, it's not the first thing you do that gets you in trouble, it's the second thing. So it's not that you've had a data breach or a cyber attack that is going to get you in trouble. It's how you respond to it, how you move on, how you handle it. And I think it was really good to test the plans we'd got and make sure they were okay. To the micro charities that don't think it will cause them any problems if they're attacked or they wouldn't suffer any loss, we didn't suffer any financial loss in terms of money leaving our bank account, but our breach, the amount of people affected by our data breach as a result of the cyber hack was really quite small. I still estimate it cost around £2,500 in staff time. And actually that's time that we could have been doing what we really meant to be doing, not responding to an attack. So it does affect you because you have to respond to it. You have to deal with it. And that takes you away from your core mission.
I also think, and I won't name the phone company because I'll probably get it wrong and get sued, but there was a phone company a couple of years ago, a mobile phone company who got hacked, and a lot of their customers' data leaked for hackers, and they didn't tell anyone for months and months. And when they did, if it did leak out, their reputation was well and truly sullied. So, you know, be upfront and be upfront early about it.
There's been lots even more recently than that within our sector. Again, don't want to point fingers or names, but certainly in the last 2 years, there's been a few big ones who've done the same thing. They've gone full ostrich, you know, head in the sand, sweep it under the carpet. It'll all just go away and it'll go away with time, but it's never the case. You know, the press gets wind of it, and the longer you sit in it, the longer you leave it, the worse it gets. And we certainly found that by the approach we took is own it. It's owning it, and all right, we use this in what we do on a day-to-day to hopefully educate and help some others and, you know, save some of that 45,000 people that we were talking about before, 45,000 charities, save some of them the hardship of having to go through it. Because as Claire said, it is inevitable where every charity is going to get attacked. Could be once, could be 100 times. Just because of the data that we hold, be it financial data on donors, the valuable data that we hold on service users as well, that has a monetary value to it, to a cyber criminal. We just, yeah, it's important to just get out ahead of it and own what's went wrong.
So interesting. I remember a crisis communications expert said exactly the same thing to me about once, the whole, it's not the first thing, it's the second thing. It's always the response that gets people's backs up, never what happened.
Yeah.
I think that is so interesting. Do you think it'll get easier to talk about it? Is it the more people that talk about it, or how would you make it easier if you could?
I think it's easier. I've found more and more people are talking about it now because I think more and more are accepting that it will happen, or it's probably already happened. We just don't know about it. So one of the things we made really crystal clear here, and I cover it on every new induction, every new member of staff, we discuss what happened, we discuss what we've put in place for when it will happen again, and we point out that no one did anything wrong. Someone made a silly mistake, but no one blatantly tried to get us hacked. So we never take any disciplinary action against anybody. So if someone absolutely goes on a dodgy website by mistake and they actually tell us, I shouldn't have done it, right, okay, you've done it, we'll get the IT company to look at it, don't worry about it. Because what really frightens us is if you keep quiet, if I get hacked today and I'm too embarrassed to tell anyone, I'm not clever enough to get the hacker off our system. So the hacker could be sat there for weeks and weeks and weeks. So since our hack, we've probably had 5, 6, 7 staff who have come forward and said, I've clicked on this link and this has happened, Joe, or that's happened. Okay, speak to our IT company, get them, lock your computer down, let's look into it. And it's just, it is a way of life is probably taking it a bit too far. It's just accepted here. I'm going to do it myself. I'm not an IT expert, but I know when I'm looking at hundreds of emails, while we've been talking, I think so like 12 have come in, and I keep looking at them. If I clicked on a link, one of them could be a dodgy link. Let's just all be open about it.
I think it's a lesson for life as well, isn't it? Because apart from our jobs as working for a charity or working in the charity sector, we're also individuals, but we're families and we're friends and all of that. I spoke to my mum yesterday. She said, I've had an email, it says I've won on the premium bonds. Do I click on the link? said, no, you don't click on the link. Go on the app and check your premium bonds. Never click on a link in an email. It's sharing the learning that it can happen to anyone. It's not just about charities, but it's about all of us living in a digital age where we're all vulnerable to new types of attack and criminals. However we live, criminals will find a way to exploit the way we're living and the things we're doing and the tools we're using to try and benefit themselves. So let's just be honest about it, and let's try and help people develop that understanding of the risk.
The NHS things that came up so quickly after the NHS vaccines and everything, the scams that came in through the text like 24 hours after the announcement, they're very quick. Sorry, Chris, I interrupted.
No, I remember the one coming out at the beginning of lockdown where they were saying we've seen you out of your house, pay £300 fine now. Send that text to specific people. I actually had someone on Sunday morning, I forgot about this, call me pretending to be from my bank. That still goes on. So I think you're spot on. And I think Jerry's been reading my notes as well, or I've been reading his one of the two. Because I think you're spot on. I think acceptance. I think acceptance is key. Like, it's all about accepting. It's about how can we reduce the fear and the stigma, the taboo, if you see around it. I think Jerry, I know you think we've made some great shines. I think there's a lot more charities that need to come forward and talk about this still. And we've done a couple of things to try and encourage that, but we'd love charities to come and reach out to us and say, this has happened. I really want to come talk about it. But yeah, acceptance that there's an inevitability that, you know, we will be attacked is the first port of call. The next one's be planned. You know, use the experiences of peers and others around us, and really plan and prepare to help mitigate the risk, reduce the fear, constantly train staff, talk about it within your organization. I think Jerry, you've got a shining example of that with what you're doing at your hospice now about, you know, no blame situation, encouraging people to talk openly about it, which is key to being able to sort of reduce the fear. Also knowing how you'll address them, knowing how you'll take things back to your audience and users, donors. You know, it'll all make things a little less scary. And then, you know, in the interest of true collaboration and peer-to-peer sector sharing, you can send everything to us that you've been doing so we can share it with everybody else.
Yep. Again, if we all club together, we all get these dodgy texts from the parcel companies. So, and I know as soon as I used to delete them all, I don't delete any anymore. I report them. So I'm on the Sky Network. I've got a number. I forward it. And I say to all of my colleagues here, if I'm the only one forwarding it, that number will not get blocked. But if there's 100 people forwarding it, Sky will go, this is a dodgy number it's texting, let's block it. And if we all did that with our emails, where we get dodgy emails and we report them, eventually the system higher than us, the likes of Action Fraud and those, they learn and they do start shutting these addresses down. It's an ongoing battle, and none of us on our own are going to go into win it.
Yeah, the NCSC have their phishing email, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
I think it's phishing@ncsc.gov.uk.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Gov.uk, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
I think that's right.
Where we'll you pop can, it in the resources.
Yeah, where you can send everything to, because that's exactly what they're doing, trying to figure out the patterns, trying to learn and using what they find to help educate.
I think this is a great conversation, guys. I'm glad we're having it. I'm glad we can talk about all these. I feel like in any other aspect of the charity sector, sort of fundraising, everyone shares their expertise. This is the only sort of blind spot I think people seem to not want to do it. So, you know, let's have more of these conversations. And on that note, I think that's a good place to end. So thank you so much, Jerry, Claire and Chris, for speaking to me on this topic. I'm really glad, as I said, that we can be starting the conversation about cyber attacks, and hopefully we'll have many more. And thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, then don't forget to rate and subscribe, and check out many more resources that we have available about cybersecurity. And don't forget to rate us as well, because it helps other people find us, and then we can keep on learning and keep on having these conversations, and it'll all be fun. We will also be adding all the resources from today to our charity digital website for you to look at and share with your colleagues, so we can all push together in that right direction. Yeah, so thanks again and see you next time. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.